Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Proverbs 25, verse 28, if you found it, shout praise the Lord. It's on your screen for your convenience. We do encourage you to bring your Bibles with you. But it does say, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Isn't that a powerful, powerful scripture? He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about a message we've entitled, A Life Without Rules. Has anybody ever broken a rule before? I think we all have. But I want to talk today about autonomous society and where we are headed unless the Lord brings, which I believe He will, a great revival. But we need to talk about this today, a life without rules. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful again to be in your house. We thank you today for your blessings. We thank you today for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful that you're here today. Continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to this world, to this earth, and to us. And Lord, when we leave this place, we choose to bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. Let's talk about autonomy. This is such an important aspect and element of society right now. We have made mention several months back of how we are humanity wants to be in control of everything. We want to have an atomic nature about ourselves, autonomous nature about ourselves, where we are wanting to control life when it comes to birth, and then we want to control death. I talked to you just how the United Kingdom a few weeks ago voted in favor of what would be called suicide and people helping one another die. And so it's just where we're headed as a world. And we need Jesus in this place. We need Jesus to come and to minister and to show up and to show out. When you look at this definition of autonomy, Webster's has a really unique definition. In fact, Webster's actually updated this definition of autonomy. They say it's the quality or state of being self-governing or the right of self-government. That's pretty basic, isn't it? A pretty basic definition for autonomy. But when they updated this word, autonomy, they went on to say it was self-directing freedom, especially moral independence. That begins to shed light about really what this word autonomy means. We want to have the vehicles that run, you know, on its own. And we are so dependent upon AI now. And it's amazing to see how our infrastructure is inundated with AI, especially when it comes to technology, primarily our phones or even social media. But have you ever heard of this expression? Now, this expression goes way, way back. But have you ever heard of this expression where it says, rules for thee, but not for me? Have you ever heard that before? Have you seen this activated in our lives, in society, in all levels? Boy, that's something else when you look at this expression, rules for thee, but not for me. That basically means someone who believes they are exempt from the rules that apply to everyone else. That's the ideology that has been forced upon certain sects of society. This word autonomy actually comes from this Greek word autonomia, which simply means this. It means the freedom to live by one's own laws. In other words, you're making up your own laws as you go. Why is there so much salad, a buffet bar in church today, especially in the Protestant movement? Why is there such people who have different ideas and ideology and will dissect God's word to fit their lifestyle? Why is that happening? You know, I know the word is very true, and listen, we need to get back to the basics of God's word and say, this is what God has established. And if anybody is confused, and if anybody doesn't know where to begin, let me just tell you, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, is the greatest place to start. It's amazing to me today where people will just define how they want to define living and choose and pick what they feel like is important for them. And that, my friend, is where we're at. It becomes a threat of an autonomous society. And there's some things, there's some elements of autonomous society, Brother Jeff, that we need to cover and we need to reveal. So let me unpack this for you this morning. First of all, we learn with an autonomous society, there is the increased social isolation. Increased social isolation when there is an autonomous society. What does that mean? Well, it means this. When everyone prioritizes their own independence, what happens? It leads to the reduced social interaction and a lack of meaningful connection with others, potentially causing loneliness and alienation. This is what is going on in our world today. Let me tell you something. And if you want to get back to the basics of the biblical truth of God's word, God never called you or your family to become an island to itself. And that's a very dangerous aspect of our society when we begin to choose our own rules and we alienate ourselves away from community. It's a very dangerous place to be. I'll never forget, I was a young man, I was 19 years old, I was just freshly called into the ministry. I'll never forget the day that I, with my pastor, who was he worked as well, but he also delivered hospital beds and different things. He's a 6'5 guy, big giant guy. And I'll never forget the first time that I ever visited a commune. Now, I'm not here to degrade any of this, but I just want to tell you how I felt the first time I went into this commune. I was helping him deliver this hospital bed. And I'll never forget the way I felt. You can imagine just how uneasy you feel when you enter into a compound. When I remember driving with the windows down in that little bitty old Dodge truck, and we had that hospital bed in the back of that little pickup, and we're driving through this gate, and it was fortified, and it was up in the north central Arkansas area, and we were going up this place, and I remember just how I felt, how uneasy I felt, and the desolation that was there, and the spirit that was among what was going on in that compound. And this had to have been a couple of summers before the Waco incident that took place in Waco, Texas, with David Koresh and his followings. Well, then I look at the word of Jesus out of the book of Matthew. And he says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. This is why it's so important for us to understand the dangers of autonomous society. It says this, and it's a lengthy scripture, but it says Matthew 5:13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its favor, his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, this is what God has called us to be. It's very simple. He's called us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And this is our duty as the body of Christ, is to become those beautiful things. In fact, when you begin to study and you look at the birth of the church out of the days of Acts, you realize the church had a it was so crucial for this birth, this beautiful church that was birthed. It was crucial how crucial congregational meetings were to the spiritual health of the body. How fellowship, that word in the Greek is koinonia, how important it is for people to come together and not only fellowship, but to worship, to minister, to understand discipleship. How important it is for the health of the body of Christ. And look what happens here in Acts chapter 2. Now remember, this is immediately on the day of Pentecost. This is immediately as the Spirit of God had fell and filled the 120 with the power of God. It was immediately after Peter stood up and gave a great convocation, a great call to salvation. And they came and they got saved. And in fact, the Bible says 3,000 were saved that day. But look what happens immediately. It says in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's the next word? And fellowship. And breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed. What's the word? Were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And look what happens here. This is the product. This is the result of coming together and staying together and being faithful. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Is that not the definition of success for the body of Christ? I've been able to watch NBC LA, which is the Los Angeles local news, and it's an NBC channel network, and I've been watching it. My eyes have been glued to it. I know my wife, bless her heart, she every time she's coming in, either I have football on or I have that on, okay? And I'm watching. I'm intrigued. And the reason I'm intrigued with this, I've never, my mom lives in Nyland, California, which is only 2.5 hours from where the fires are at. But I've never lived in California, so I don't know. I know there are people who are from California, and the reason they left California had personal reasons, even political reasons they left. But I watched this, and I'm so intrigued of the response, and it may never make national media, but the response of the people, the locals, what they call themselves angels, right? They call themselves people who are coming in who've lost everything in these fires and yet are helping one another. That's unity. That's community. That is not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about is autonomous society. Now, it's easy for me to look online and say, yes, it's just sus, if you will. It's suspected arson. I don't see how all these things could happen the way that they've happened. And unfortunate, it's an unfortunate reality. And I was watching one young man, he was probably in his 60s, but I was watching this gentleman. And he walked up, and they were interviewing different people at a specific station where they're receiving all of these, you know, things that people need. Blankets, clothes, food. And this gentleman was handing out cash. And people were like dumbfounded. They could not believe that this guy is handing. He said, well, I'm handing a $50 bill to the adults and I'm handing a $20 bill to the children. And he said, this is what I do. He says, I love what he said, Sister Charlotte. He said, I serve at my church and this is what my church taught me to do. He said, yeah, I serve at my church, but today I come here to serve the people. And he said, I know what it's like to not have things. He said, but God has been good to me, and I'm able to give to them. And people, he said, I would rather give the cash out to them than go buy $10,000 worth of stuff that people are not even going to use. It's amazing. Then I saw the Dream Center, which is the, if you know anything about Amy McPherson, if you know anything about the Four Square Movement, this church St. Angela's Church that Amy McPherson founded and was such a powerful woman of God in the early 1900s. I watched how the Dream Center came down, which is downtown L.A., and they came together and they're doing the same thing. And then they stopped everything they were doing and they had a time to just come together in unity and worship God and sing praises to Him. We have no idea what people are going through today. And this is so beautiful when I look at this, how the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. I want to get there. How about you? I want to be able to get to that point where we're seeing every day somebody is giving their life to God. You know, if you'll backtrack a few years, and this needs to be spoken of, we need to pull this back because this is exactly what happened. But the reasons there was a shutdown on church gatherings was the attempt to reduce social interaction and to stunt church growth. We are still recouping from, and we will recoup from, God already promised that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. And yeah, we were hit hard financially and people got confused and got mixed up and didn't realize all that was going on and they lost sight of the vision. But I still believe that God, as we said last Sunday, and if you weren't here last Sunday morning, you need to hear that message. I believe that God, and that's the book of Haggai says, that God is going to bring back His glory in the church again in these last days. Number two. There's the decreased community cohesion. We're talking about some of the terrible things that can happen in an autonomous society. What happens when the glue has lost its ability to stick? What happens when that happens? Well, you know that. The system or the framework falls apart. When there's no cohesion, when there's no unity, when there's no stickability. That's why, and let me just talk to you real quickly, that's why there are so many leadership vacuums in the church. I want you to think about that. That's why you have leaders who resign certain posts because the people aren't sticking together. And they become discouraged. And they become spent. Their energy, it's a strength eater. And they're just spending all their energy on certain, and are just getting frustrated. That's why pastors resign almost every Sunday in this nation. No more are people part of the solution. They become part of the problem. When you're talking about leadership vacuums, and I know that hits hard, and I know that's very tough to hear, but it's the truth. We have to pull up the roots of bitterness. We've got to deal with the things that are at hand. We've got to get on the same page and say, if we really want to be successful and effective, remember, our objective is to be effective. And if we really believe in our motto that people are our greatest investment and that Jesus died for all mankind and that everybody on planet Earth, that mean boss, that mean principal, right? Whoever it may be, that we know that Jesus saw value in every person and He died on a cross for all humanity. Man, listen, leaders who row the boat don't have time or the energy to rock it. Ephesians 4 and 3 says, endeavor. Everybody say endeavor. Endeavor to keep what? The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Next Sunday, Brandon Hartung is going to be here and part of our mission services that we do at the beginning of the year. But I have a word that I want to share with you next Sunday, and it has to do with peace. If you look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he's really doing the best he can to try to help the Corinth church to grow, to come together. And this is what he says. He says, for as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where was the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where was the smelling? You get it, right? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he, look what it says, as he has pleased him. Pleasing. Do you see what God is saying? He's saying, I'm pleased when the body not only comes together in unity, but stays together. Stickability. When there is the opposite of decreased community cohesion. No, where the body of Christ says we can stay together. You ever seen a team? I'm ashamed to say this, but my team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got blown out. I mean, I knew it. Listen, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. They've lost 4 games already in a row. I knew it was what was going to happen. I wasn't real gung-ho about it, like, oh, we're going to do it, and waving the terrible towel. I just knew it was going to happen. But I saw something that I have never, following the Pittsburgh Steelers since the 70s, I saw something on defense that I've never witnessed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that was a lack of motivation. When they played that first half, they didn't care. They just basically quit. I mean, they were never able to stop the run. They couldn't stop Lamar. They just threw in the towel. Listen, we cannot have that kind of attitude in the church. When you look around, and yeah, there are times that the seats are empty, and you look around and you say, well, they're not here. I'm just going to throw the towel. I'm not going to come. That is what happens. It breeds. Absence breeds absence. It always does. I've been pastoring for nearly, 30 years. I've been in the ministry for 34 years. I know this to be true. It always happens. That's why it's important to come together. The question then we need to ask ourselves, who are we pleasing? Are we pleasing God or are we pleasing us? Number 3, there's a lack of social responsibility. Do you realize that without a shared understanding of social expectations, that individuals might be more inclined to engage in behaviors that promote immorality? Or even more dangerous, the promotion of disregarding the protection or provision of others. This is what's happening in Italy. This is what's happening in the United Kingdom. This is what's happening when you have immigrants from Pakistan that are flooding the streets on the streets of London, England, and are raping 9-year-old girls, raping 12-year-old girls, coming and gang raping. And then they sit in the seat of judgment with this court, this very liberal court system in London, England. And then you see what happens. They're just getting slapped on the wrist. Then you have an incident in, I believe, was it in Germany, where the woman who said these men were out to rape her, and she began to embellish the story. Her sentence was much longer than the rapists, their sentences have been in Germany. Do you see what's going on? And this is going our direction. It's happening in our nation. It's a lack of social responsibility. But in my pavilion, opinion, I believe that apathy can do more destruction to the body of Christ than what complacency could ever do. Now, let me explain myself. Because by definition, apathy simply means this. It means a lack of interest or concern. That's a very dangerous attribute or characteristic to have about yourself. You know, the Bible even warns the believer of a generation of people who don't care anymore. When when people show no concern for others, listen, there they show little or concern for God. That's just the way, that's humanity. That's the way it is. When people quit caring for others, that tells me that, well, perhaps maybe that person has little or no concern for even God, the creator of man. And so the Apostle Paul addresses this disease in Romans. He says this, and I've preached this message many times before, But he asked this question in Romans 3:3, and it says, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Listen, I know God's sovereign, and I know God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. God is so amazing, and he can do anything he wants to do. But do you realize God wants, he desires to use his people. He desires for people to be used by his grace. That's the anointing. That is God giving us privilege to be used for his presence, for used for his word, used for his purpose, if you will. So I learned that quit caring leads to quit sharing. And quit sharing leads to flaring and tearing. And we all know that flaring and tearing leads to strife in the body of Christ. And that word tearing doesn't only mean tearing apart, but it also means tares that grow up with the product, with the fruit. And then at the end of the days, God has to allow the tares to come up growing with the fruit, but then he has to destroy them. He has to separate them. I don't want that to happen, do you? I want to bear fruit. Now, the church one time shared peace with one another, but now the church shares strife. Help us, God, because we know where strife is, every evil is present. There are two people in the church. We're talking about a lack of social responsibility in context of an autonomous society. Two people in the church. There's toxic people and there's tonic people. Okay? Toxic people are the people who invigorates and strengthens you. Those are the tonic people. People who are invigorate and strengthens you. Toxic people are the people who poison you. Now think about this, and it's going to be on your screen. There are the destiny and the will of God people in our lives, and there are the dead weight people in our lives. And maybe 2024, you had dead weight people in your life that was pulling you down, that was keeping you down, that was negative all the time, that was in your way, that was trying to deter you from the call and the purpose of God on your life. You need to align yourself and come in agreement with those people who can speak life into you. The people that want you to run your race. The people that will applaud you and say, "Hey, I'm part of that destiny and will of God person in your life. I want to see you grow and succeed." Amen? Well, lack of social responsibility invites a toxic culture. Number four, the last one. There's a diminished sense of shared core values. When an individual focuses primarily on the individual choice, it will hinder the collective efforts to address shared challenges like unity, like family, like ministry. And then after time, this is what happens. The individual who solely focus primarily on their own needs and desires weakens their sense of belonging. I've seen it happen. It's what I call the danger of disconnect. I see it all the time. Listen, you can attend church every time the doors are open, and you still can be disconnected. I think it was Haley. I seen the post a couple of weeks ago, but I think it was Haley that reposted what someone had said. How important it is when you come to church, you begin serving in the church, you begin feeling like you belong in the church. But when you just come, and I've seen it, you come, you sit, and you listen, and then you take off, and you don't shake hands, you don't do any, you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're not building, you're not doing these things, you're not here on Wednesday night to help with the children, you're just all about yourself, then you wonder why you're so disconnected. Hello. Listen to John chapter 15. Again, it's lengthy, but it gets to the point. This is Jesus saying in chapter 15 of John, verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Nor more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you could do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and is cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You see how important it is to be connected? And I love this. The diminishing sense of shared core values will lead to an autonomous society. Our opening text in Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. The Old Testament story, I think, of the two sons of this chief priest is probably the greatest example that I could place before you this morning of a tragedy of a life with no rules. You know, that is kind of the best way, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way or facetious way at all, but that is the best way to destroy any organization or community. Begin to rewrite the rules. Go into a nation and rewrite rules. Rewrite a constitution. Rewrite whatever it may be. Declarations. Rewrite these things to fit a society, giving that society a weakened instead of a strong foundation. When you look at this story of these two sons, it's probably the greatest example that we could come across. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12 says, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now think about this. These boys are sons of the preacher, of the high priest Eli. I like what Adam Clark's commentary says about this. They describe the sons of Eli as perverse, wicked, and profligate, which means shamefully moral. These profligate men, they cause all ungodliness in all of Israel. Just two. It's amazing what two individuals can do to a system. They were the principal cause of this fall that you read about in Israel. It's terrible what happens. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22. It'll be on your screen. It says, now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of the Father, because the Lord would slay them. Now think about what has happened. Do you see what he just said? Do you recognize, you notice anything missing? Do you notice anything wrong with this scripture? Was there something that was left out? Yes. Emphatically, yes. The high priest Eli, he appears to be a fondly, affectionate, easygoing, and laid-back father who wished his sons to do well. But something was missing. Eli did not bring them under proper discipline. And he did not use his authority to restrain those two boys. He didn't stop them. He said, shame on you, having those women to lay outside the church and have the men come in, or even the women come in and have sex with them outside of the building, outside of the tabernacle. Shame on you. You should have never done that. Listen what it says. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A priest and judge, Eli. He's priest, he's judge, and he had the power to cast them immediately out of the vineyard. And all of those servants that were a part of that. But he did not. And look what happens. He himself and his sons, their ruin was a consequence. But it gets worse. Remember, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if a man abide not in me, what happens? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. I think when we talk about the autonomy that is happening and creeping in the church, I think that we have this idea that, hey, nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm delving into all types of perversion. I'm engaged in all of these things, but nobody knows what I can go ahead and do my thing. It's not harming anybody. Boy, this is good preaching. God says, one day I will pull the lid back, and it will be revealed. When we choose to live an autonomous life without rules that are not, get this, that are not propagated by the Word of God, we open ourselves up to complete destruction. First Samuel, look what happens. This is the sad thing, Sister Linda Waller. This has to be the sad thing about what happens. You read down a couple chapters later in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 11, and this is what it says. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. It got to the point, Brother Vernon, it got to the point that the church was engaged in so much worldliness and so much sin that the presence of God was literally stolen, taken out of the church. My God, help us. Help us today when what was once important to you becomes less important. You'll eventually lose sight of what was important, and you'll find your life unimportant. Your life that once was a mighty fortress now has become a city that is broken down and without walls. And listen, the only hope for restoration is to invite Jesus to become Lord of your life, to become the foundation of your life. That's restoration. That's where it begins. To say, my walls have been deteriorating. That's why my vision is so deflected with other things that are going on. I'm so distracted constantly. My vision is deflected by everything. And when God says, keep your eyes upon me, looking unto Jesus, which is the author and the finisher of my faith, but I'm so concerned about this, I'm so worried about this, and God says, hello, focus on me. There are some important rules then. Why are rules important? We're talking about a life without rules. Why are rules important? Here's three reasons. Number one, rules, and it'll be on your screen, rules provide a clear structure. Clear structures prevent chaos and helps others to navigate situations in a predictable manner. When you begin to say, oh, men can play in women's sports, and the woman gets her life beaten out of her by a man, it's chaos. Number two, rules provide fairness and equity. Applying rules equally to everyone promises a sense of justice. You know, that is my biggest argument with professional sports. Even though I like to be entertained by them, there's no rules. They'll hold. The Kansas City Chiefs will hold all day long. Never get flagged.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.